Pastor Dennis Kastens, from whom we just heard, founded Lutheran schools in Hawaii as part of his ministry there. So it makes sense that he would be instrumental in the decision by Good Shepherd Lutheran Church Collinsville, as their pastor, to start a school. But it was much to his surprise by his own admission. God was lining up the players in this part of the Good Shepherd story with Pastor Kastens, his associate pastor Lester Sato, Richard Wallace as chairman of the congregation, and our next guest, Bill Cochran, the 8th grade teacher and coach assigned by Good Shepherd to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Now remember, Holy Cross is the church from which the Good Shepherd story emanated as a mission congregation back in 1958. Bill Cochran blessed our family when he taught and coached our children and as their youth director. You know, Lutheran teachers wear a lot of hats. What is your earliest recollection of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church?
Well, my wife Joan grew up in Collinsville and is from Good Shepherd. And we met at St. John's in Winfield, St. John's College. And so we were married in 1967. And then I was teaching in Hemlock, Michigan from 1968 to 1970. And we would come home a couple times a year to visit her parents. And one of those times I met with Mr. Rines, who was the principal at Holy Cross, and talked to him about teaching positions that they had there. And it so happened that Good Shepherd wanted a male youth director. And in 1970, we received the call to be a teacher at Holy Cross, hired by Good Shepherd and Good Shepherd's youth director. And I did that job from 1970 to 1984. While I was teaching, coaching, being youth director, VBS, all the things that went on. And in 1984, they issued the call for me to be the principal on my birthday. And it was a Sunday, and I accepted the call right on the spot. Because I had been meeting, you know, about starting the school and all of that, and that's another story in itself. And then I was teacher and principal at Good Shepherd until 1992, when I became the education executive in the Eastern District. I was there till 98, then received a call to Christ Community in St. Louis to be the executive principal, which I served from 1998 to 2002, and then was called to Synod to be the director of schools for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and did that from 2002 to 2014.
That is such a storied career. Do you come from a family of educators?
I do not. There are no educators in the family, but this is a good story because where we lived, we had a neighbor who was attending Wichita Lutheran School. And my parents then enrolled me in Wichita Lutheran School in the 6th grade. And in the 7th grade, our teacher took us to St. John's Academy and College in Winfield to visit. And I came home from that visit and told my mother I wanted to be a Lutheran school teacher. So my parents sent me to St. John's Academy for my freshman year. And when I was a junior, they moved to Winfield. So I lived at home then for the rest of my high school and junior college and then finished my undergraduate education at Concordia, Seward, Nebraska.
So your parents believed in your vision, didn't they?
Yes.
You were a fierce competitor in sports and as a coach, and that you held your students in very high regard, and those kids knew it. You were kind of the academic fullback with a big heart. Your head and your heart were very instrumental in starting up the Good Shepherd School, Bill.
Well, this is where we need to start talking about Pastor Kastens. When he came, he started the preschool in 1980, which eventually led to discussions about Good Shepherd and Holy Cross becoming a two-campus school with the upper grades at Holy Cross and the lower grades at Good Shepherd. And Pastor Kastens had a goal in his ministry of reaching as many people for the Lord as he could. And he thought a Lutheran school would be a good outreach tool. Not that Holy Cross really wasn't, but Holy Cross at the time was really geared more to its members and to Lutherans. And Pastor Kastens felt that where Good Shepherd was located, there was a good potential for outreach. And that's really why Good Shepherd Lutheran School was started, to be an outreach tool for the congregation.
Well, I remember the 18 months of feasibility study before the school was started. because my husband Richard chaired that committee, and you and Pastor Cassens, Pastor Sato were on that and would come home from meetings saying, what does the Holy Spirit want us to do? And I think they, you discovered that they were more into maintaining what they had, and Good Shepherd really wanted to take a chance on outreach. And in a sense, it was a chance, but it's a holy experiment, and God's experiments don't fail. But you were not reaching out just to Lutherans then, were you?
No. No, we were reaching out to mainly unchurched people is who we were looking for when the school started. And I believe the first year we had about 40% of our children were not churched.
That's a big percentage. And throws the whole faculty and student body into a mm-hmm. different modus operandi, in a sense, doesn't it?
Right.
It was quite an upgrade for you to go from eighth grade teacher to principal of a brand new school. What was the biggest challenge?
I really had no clue what it was like to be a principal. I mean, I'd never been a principal. I never wanted to be a principal. I liked teaching. I liked coaching most of all, and that's what I really wanted to do. And I turned every day over to the Lord for guidance and direction. And I surrounded myself with people like Rich and Ralph and Wally and others that I could talk to and ask advice. And I really didn't try to copy any principle I knew. I just tried to do the things that I thought were necessary to get Good Shepherd started and going. And we had a lot of supportive people at Good Shepherd that were willing to lend a hand and give unconditional response. I mean, we could do stuff and nobody would. I bought a portable classroom in Chicago one time with little or no way to pay for it, and we brought it down here and set it up, and they rolled it over into the building program. I mean, that's the way things were when we started. One of the things that we really were concerned about is that we wanted to be the school of choice in Collinsville. And so we worked hard to meet the needs of each student and to make them feel special as a child. You'll probably remember that we brought in people to teach piano during the school day so that kids didn't have to do that after school. We had somebody come in and do the violin lessons with kids. And if we had kids that needed help, we brought in a counselor like you, and we also brought in a special ed person. And we tried to meet the needs of the kids that were there.
And you had a school board who must have been easy to work with and were very enthused about this new outreach.
I had pretty much the same school board the first 5 years of the school, and they were very supportive. They understood what kind of a person I was, and so they were patient with me, but yet they let me do the things that I needed to do in order to make sure that the school would be going.
I remember a little bit of a bumpy ride when we pulled away from a school that was well-established. I mean, Holy Cross is over 100 years old, and they had sponsored the Good Shepherd mission, really, in the district to start our church. And so that when we left, I'm sure there was some confusion about that. And so you had to have a lot of grace in place, as did they, to make that as seamless as you possibly could.
Yeah, we, you know, and I taught at Holy Cross for 14 years, and I loved it. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
You know, I probably did as much or more for Holy Cross than I did for Good Shepherd. So that was a big part of me, and I really was sad about leaving because of the coaching and the kids and all of that, and going into something you had no clue what was going to happen. I mean, we spent 18 months trying to figure out if we were going to start one grade at a time. We had parent meetings, and I remember one parent in particular who said, my kid will be wherever Bill Cochran is.
Wow.
And his kid was going to be in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
And so finally God led us to the point where we said, well, we're going to start grades K to 6. And if we get 70 kids in grades K to 6, we'll add 7th and 8th grade, because we had 8 8th graders that were really wanting to come to the school. And God blessed us. We started with 136 kids that first year.
And I know our Brooks was in the first eighth grade class, and it had been a big class at Holy Cross, and I think it was only like 13 or 14 when you came over to Good Shepherd. But you were the principal. You also were you doing some teaching? I don't know.
I taught 6th grade to 8th grade,
yep.
All in the same room.
Yeah. And then you took that team, that basketball team, to state, and they did very well at state that year.
Actually, Bob took them to state.
Oh, that's right. Bob Mayhew was the one we brought in from Litchfield. And you'll hear from Bob Mayhew later on.
Well, you know, and to talk about that, one of the things that I knew was important for a school was that your school is only as strong as your weakest teacher. And so I worked really hard to get teachers in where I would be the weakest teacher. And that all that so that we would have excellent teachers. And we had two others that came from Holy Cross that were hired by Good Shepherd, and we hired Bob that first year, and we had a really good, strong, dedicated faculty that helped us get the school off to a start. And we wanted to have a curriculum that was challenging. We wanted to have a curriculum that was Christian-based, so we spent a lot of time getting that ready, and it worked to get us going.
I remember the due diligence you did in finding the teachers, because we were brand new. Nobody had ever heard of us. So you would go out, and how would you find them? I love that part.
Well, it was interesting after we finished the first year, we were going to be a school originally of one class per grade. But we had 50 kids in kindergarten. And when we did the re-enrollment, all 50 of those kids wanted to come to the first grade. So we could not have 50 kids in one grade. So the second year, we already had two first grades. Well, that year, Concordia River Forest started sending out taped interviews with their teachers. And so I called them and I said, well, you know, I have questions that I would like to ask. Will you allow me to come to your campus and videotape me asking our questions? We had 25 questions we asked every teacher. And the first 10 questions had nothing to do with teaching, because we were wanting to find out about their Christian, you know, their dedication and all of that. And so I would go to Concordia, Seward, and River Forest, and I would videotape two or three people from each campus, and then I could turn those videotapes over to the board to look at before the board meeting, and then we could determine the right teacher. So we spent a lot of time looking for the right teachers, and the first couple teachers that we got in were graduates, but they were outstanding teachers. Susan Wagner, who was our first teacher that we got that was not one of the original, just a dedicated, outstanding lady.
And also did music for us.
She taught our band.
The band,
yeah.
That's right.
Outstanding, and it worked. And there's a funny little story about her, because the first year she came, she had 24 kids, and that was the class that had started in kindergarten and the class that wound up going all the way through eighth grade and graduated. So Ian Ford was in that class, and Thomason, but that was a great year. Parents were very supportive in that class, and the next year she came in the first day of school, and she said, "I quit." And I said, "Well, Susan, why are you want to quit?" She said, "These kids are nothing like last year's class." And I said, "Welcome to teaching." And she said, her mother was a teacher. So my mother never had these kind of problems. And I said, "Well, why don't you go home and call your mother, talk to her, and if you still want to quit tomorrow, you come in and I'll let you quit." And she came in the next day and she said, "I think I'll stick it out." And she did, and then she got engaged, and she stayed with us another year after she got engaged because she had committed to 3 years.
Oh,
so
that's
just
great.
Stories like that. And we had a lot of dedicated teachers that we were able to hire that were just wonderful people.
I'm sure things came up through the years and still do where it would detract from the excellence that we want to maintain in the school. How do you adjust for that or delete the negatives? Do you have advice on that?
Well, I had two situations that I had to deal with teachers that were actually fairly good teachers, but they just didn't meet the dynamic that we were looking for as a Good Shepherd staff. And so I handled it in a way where I brought them in and talked with them and told them that I thought it would be best that they put their name on a call list. And I did that early enough so that they would have a chance to do it a couple times. And in both cases, God sent them to another place. One of the people wanted to be the principal. And I said, well, okay, we can go to the board and we can ask them who they would like to see be the principal. But I said, I can tell you who they're going to pick. And he, you know, he was a young teacher, good guy. I mean, he's a really good guy. Did a lot of stuff for us. But he just had an attitude that wasn't quite in tune with what we were doing. And so that's how I handled it. I made sure that we dealt with them in a loving, kind way, but yet we had to make sure that we were going to have the people in place that were going to make us be the best that we could be.
And one of the things I noticed about your success as a leader and as a principal in the school was that you put your cards on the table. You didn't play all that close to your chest. You let people know you were a good communicator. And you didn't hide from situations that were difficult. And I have seen you through the years take situations that could have been real negatives and turn them into positives. Just the little case about one teacher saying, I think I'm going to quit. You know, you handled that so well. And that teaches us a lot about interpersonal relationships and working for the Lord. We saw the Lord deal with it with lots of disciple issues, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I thought it was important to invest myself in the lives of the teachers. So the graduates that would come, I would help them find a place to live. I would make sure that there was little gifts in their place when they came. This first teacher, so I didn't know what I was doing when we hired Susan, but I met her at the airport with a bouquet of flowers, and I helped her find, you know, her apartment and helped her get her bank set up and all of that. And you know, it was such an honor because she came back to my retirement from the Synod, from all the way from Fort Wayne. And, you know, what an honor that was.
Oh, it was. I remember seeing her there. In a way, you were a parent figure. You know,
kind of.
You mentored people. We've talked about some of the challenges, the wonderful challenges and the way that the Lord reached through you to respond and the school kept growing and being successful. The challenges aside, what was the biggest joy?
Well, the biggest joy for me was being able to work with Pastor Castens. We decided before the school actually opened that we would never disagree in public because we wanted to be on the same page. But we never disagreed in private. And I was an early person getting to school, and Pastor Castens was an early person. And every morning I'd go in and he would talk with me, or we'd talk with each other for sometimes an hour just about things, and I would share with him things I was thinking about, and he would respond to that, give me some advice. And he was just the perfect pastor to have when you're trying to do something like this. And he was always very supportive, and he loved our school. And what he would do when people would be picking up a drop, he'd be out there greeting them, talking with them, because he had a plan, and his plan was to get those people to be members of our church. Other joys that were part of this school was working with you and Rich, Wally, Ralph, Elmer, Chris Ford, you know, a ton of people that were just would do anything for you. And in that first year, when we had so many unchurched people, what I would do is people like Archie Shane Beck and Elmer and some others that were from the church, I would pair them up with an unchurched father. And they were thinking they were coming to cut the grass or to do something. And these guys were witnessing to them. And after 6 months, they were in the pastor's class. So, I mean, just a wonderful big joy. And I think the biggest joy that, while I didn't get to experience it directly, after I left and went to the Eastern District, I found out that the Collinsville public school teachers were sending their kids to Good Shepherd. And that's when it really became the school of choice in Collinsville. And we had worked so hard to get the good curriculum in and get the right teachers. And, you know, that to me was the biggest joy that came out of that.
And, of course, the joy for the congregation has been enormous. They waited a long time to start that school, put everything in place so it could happen, but they waited even longer to build a big church.
Yeah, you know, when we were going through the initial starting of the school, there were some people that were not in favor of the school because they said we were going to get a new sanctuary. And one of those people, I won't say his name, but we put him on the committee when we were starting, but he was not in favor of the school. And after I had gone to the Eastern District and came back and was visiting with my daughter and went to church, this person came up to me and said, we were talking about building a new sanctuary now, and I stood up in the meeting and said, we don't need a new sanctuary, we need more school rooms.
Wow. So, God can change minds, can't
he? But, you know, the new sanctuary would have never gotten built if the school would not have been started, because that gave enough new members and growth to where it showed that you needed to have the new sanctuary. And it all worked in a plan that God had for Good Shepherd, and is still working that plan today.
And there was a lot of sacrifice on the part of members who
gave
and hoped in their day to see the new sanctuary, mm-hmm. and didn't.
Some believed
that God had a plan, like you're mm-hmm. saying. Bill, did you ever think about the legacy that you wanted to leave for the next generation of faculty and students at Good Shepherd Lutheran School?
Well, I always wanted Good Shepherd to be the place where children knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they would be equipped to be successful at the next level. And if that could happen or has happened, or that's what I would want to see, that our kids that came out of Good Shepherd knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they were ready to go on to the next level.
Well, that was certainly your legacy. It still goes on today.
Yeah. Because, you know, it was never about me or anybody else. It was, and as I look back on this, I just happened to be somebody that God took, who was not a flashy person, you know, not an outstanding leader, but he put me in a position to do the things that he wanted to get done. And, you know, it could have been that I would have stayed at Good Shepherd, still been there today. But that wasn't part of his plan. And I was able to see the school get started, and then other people were able to take it to next levels that it has gone through. And that's good. So I never wanted it to be about me.
It's a great ad, though, for raising your hand and saying, here am I, send me, wherever mm-hmm. he calls, and then you have to recognize it and go.
Right.
Because like you said, when you started, you didn't have a clue. And he was grooming you all along for this and took you to other places, all the way to the top of the educational system at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yes.
Well, you've gone the distance since you came to Good Shepherd. Even when you moved on as the Lord beckoned, you stayed in touch with your Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and school family. The times, they are a-changing, Bill. And you've worked in the thick of things as a teacher, as a principal, as the director of education for LCMS, and in several other roles. I'll ask you to share your wisdom with us, your prayer for us, as we seek the Lord's plans for the Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Church.
Well, I think you need to constantly be seeking God's guidance and direction in all that you do, because it's all about His will for what's going to happen. And sometimes we get in our mind that we want this to happen or that to happen, but that's not really the best thing. So don't settle for mediocrity. Always strive to be the best Lutheran school you can be. And you have to take a look at things that are going to help you become the best. One of the things that helped us back in the beginning was bringing in those extra little perks, you might say, for the kids, like the piano teacher, the violin teacher, the counselor, the special ed, having all that. Seek and put people in place to make that happen. I think the still the biggest thing is to make sure you get the right teachers in the classroom. because they're the ones that will directly impact and influence the lives of those children forever.
Parent and friend and many roles that you played. Well, it's obvious that you endorse Christian education deeply, greatly, continuously. What would be your advertisement to pull people into it? Maybe people who are listening to this Good Shepherd story who think they want to start a school, they're not sure.
At the time when we started, everybody said that we should not start this school because we were 2 miles from Holy Cross. The director of schools for Synod told us no. The district education exec at the time told us no. A lot of people told us no. But I think, and the advice that I would give people that want to start a school is, what is the real purpose you want to start the school? And you need to have that purpose in place and have people committed to that. Our purpose was we wanted to be an outreach tool for the congregation. And prior to us starting that as an outreach tool, Lutheran schools were not outreach tools. But there was about 10 other schools in the Synod that were considered as outreach schools. And 2 years after we started, there was a big meeting that the director of schools had with the 10 schools that were doing outreach, as to kind of share that. So, you know, it may be other reasons that that you need to have a better education that you can get at the public school or the other schools in your town or whatever. We didn't have a clue what 5 years after we started were going to look like. We didn't know if we could pay for it. We didn't know any of that stuff. But we knew what we wanted to do and why we wanted to do it, and we committed ourselves to that. And it was God's plan. And I think you have to look for the door that God opens when you're trying to do something like this, because there will be a message sent somehow, some way, that this is the right thing to do. And as you get people on board, and we kind of had the influencers in our congregation on board with this. So, you know, if the influencer says, yeah, I think this is a good idea, 10 people will get on board with them because they're the influencer. So it's not impossible to start a school, but you need to really know why you want to do it and what the purpose is and what the ultimate goal is that you're trying to reach.
And what you're saying also applies to those schools who are flailing a little bit because they're in school districts that are very good and they're having trouble competing or whatever the reason. If you want to nurture a school, these same principles apply that you're talking about.
That is correct. And Ross Stever, who was the associate director of schools when we were starting and when Metro East was starting, and I was kind of involved with Metro East, and I would ask Ross, and he said, you have to find the niche that your school is going to stand for. Not every school is going to be a basketball powerhouse or a football powerhouse. It might be that you're going to be the best academic program in the community, or you're going to have the best instrumental program or choir program or whatever, but you need to determine what the niche is that you're going to be going for. And I think schools that are kind of struggling, that would be something to look at. And should we be a more of a classical approach school, or should we be a technology-oriented school, or should we be whatever?
Look for the doors that God is opening for you. That's beautiful. You've obviously gone through a lot of those doors.
I've gone through a number of them, as I shared in the beginning when we started talking about all the things that God has led me to, when all I ever really wanted to be was a teacher and a basketball coach.
Well, you've had a lot of those dreams come true, and we thank you for your faithfulness to the gospel through education, and wish you God's very best in the years ahead.
Well, thank you, Phyllis, and I appreciate your support over the years that you've given me too.